This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Monday morning to you and yours. To say there's a lot to get into today would be a tremendous understatement. We go till 8 o'clock. We could go till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning and have enough to discuss. I mean, you got the Nets and the Bucks, and the Nets all sorts of banged up now. The Islanders, I'm sure Rick is going to be in a great mood today. Islanders go down to Tampa and win game one. You have the Yankees who, I guess you could say, stink at the moment. The Mets, questionable with what they do with their bullpen yesterday. Djokovic wins the French Open in a phenomenal weekend of tennis. So much to get into. Let's say good morning. Hi, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Great weekend. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm a little frustrated with the Mets, to be honest with you. But you know what? To win two out of three against San Diego, I can't be too disappointed. And Rick, you just have to be on cloud nine this morning.
TGFI, Dave. Thank God for the Islanders. That's all I got to say. Oh, feels good. Game one, Tampa. House divided. I'm getting sent pictures of everyone. My whole the other side of the family with Tampa jerseys on, pre-gaming for the game, trying to talk Milo and Ella into rooting for the Lightning.
Can they be
no,
swayed?
No, no,
no. Can they
no,
be
there's
swayed?
No chance. No.
Is there any way that Milo can be gotten to?
No, not at the moment.
No?
Not after the Islanders won game one. Now, what happens in game two, I don't know. But so far, so good. He had the jersey on. He had the hat on. He was full bore. A little chest bump in action. Actually sat down and watched some of the game with me, which was nice. It's good stuff, Dave.
Yeah, well, you should be very excited. You should be in a great way. I mean, guys, we have a ton to get into. 800-919-3776. Yankees are a disaster. We'll get there in a couple minutes. Islanders certainly as well. Let's start with the Nets. Now, we were saying on the show Friday that even though Milwaukee won Game 3, they weren't going to win the series, and they looked awful in winning Game 3. And I got a ton of tweets yesterday. See how wrong you are? You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, if you would have told me that Harden and Kyrie were not going to play for the bulk of Game 4, yes, I think the Bucks now do certainly have a chance solely, and I'll say this and I'll be honest, solely because of injury. But you know what? That's part of the game, and now we sit here at 2-2 in the series.
Isn't it amazing, though, how quickly things change?
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, go back to Game 3. I mean, Chris, Dave and I spent a lot of time on Friday talking about it. Like, I actually felt better about Brooklyn's chances to win the series after watching how, you know, Game 3 unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
In a loss, you felt better about it. And then you knew going into last night's game, I mean, it's role players at home play better. And, I mean, the role players, especially yesterday for Brooklyn, were bad. I mean, Joe Harris has been awful, awful in Milwaukee. And, you know, you take that and you couple it with the fact that, you know, Kyrie goes down and the whole team just seems like they're deflated. I mean, that's, I don't know, man. This is, I guess the saving grace for Brooklyn is that you feel like going back home, two of these next three are in Brooklyn. So you feel like that supporting cast will be better. And maybe, fingers crossed, you get back James Harden. I have a hard time believing the way that injury looked with Kyrie that he's going to be back anytime soon.
Did you see what the ankle, like the still shot of the ankle?
Yeah, the bone,
yeah,
touched,
bad.
The bone touched the floor, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. I was surprised that the x-rays were negative. I mean, it looked really, really ugly. And in real time, I didn't think that it was flagrant by Giannis, but listening to Mark Jackson and the crew talk about it, I mean, I can understand why they feel that way, because it was an aggressive play by Giannis to position himself for the rebound. And you just hate to see the complexion of a series change because of an injury to Kyrie. Like, with James Harden on the floor and Kyrie Irving, it wasn't going to be a contest. Like, we were saying that coming into this, that it could potentially be a long series. But after the first couple of games, you were like, you know, Milwaukee would be lucky if they got a game. But now that you're seeing this Nets team without somebody as the primary ball handler to orchestrate it, without that superstar, it's a difference, man. I mean, listen, as much as I think Mike James is a great story, it's different if you're talking about relying on him to be your primary ball handler for the entire game, for the entire series. And I thought yesterday, especially in the second half, the Nets had trouble being able to get into their half-court offensive sets. And as a result, you saw all the turnovers. The Nets had 17 turnovers that resulted in 25 points for the Milwaukee Bucks. So, I mean, this is a problem for the Nets, no question about it. If they're not able to get James Harden or Kyrie Irving back, I think that opens the door for the Milwaukee Bucks to actually win this series.
I mean, the offense in the second half was pretty much, you know, let's force feed Kevin Durant the ball and see if he can make anything happen. I mean, the scoring in the third quarter was him. I mean, he scored or assisted on, I think, 18 of the 21 points. The third quarter was him scoring the basketball. I didn't score in the fourth quarter, and I understand you could see his frustration. But, I mean, even with Kyrie, that game was going to be a tough game. I mean, you saw how physical the game was, right? I mean, that's what Milwaukee is trying to do.
Yeah, that's their game plan. We're going to go out there and play like the Knicks in the heat of the mid-90s. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, and then the second you lost Kyrie, I mean, you lost that other superstar, that other option. And, Chris, you mentioned, you know, Mike James. Like these supporting guys in, you know, certain roles are very effective. But all of a sudden now you elevate them to, okay, now you're going to be...
That's right.
Now you're going to be the guy. That's not who they are.
When everyone has to take that next step up, right? Listen, you have three star players. You now have one star player. So now Joe Harris has to elevate to, you know, the next step up, and James has to elevate to the next step up. When those are the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh options, those are great options, right? When Blake Griffin becomes your second best offensive player, you're in big trouble. And listen, I don't think we're you know, splitting the atom here. If those two do not come back, it's difficult to look at Brooklyn and how they possibly win the series.
Well, I imagine, listen, here's the thing. And P.J. Tucker did an awesome job with
KD. Locked him up.
Locked him up, right? Great job. And I think that's, you know, when all of a sudden Kyrie's out and guys aren't making shots around him, you can focus all your attention on, you know, trying to shut down KD. I would imagine going back to Brooklyn, KD's going to have a big night. Like, you know, KD scoring somewhere close to 40 wouldn't surprise me one bit. Now, Brooklyn's going to have to rely on the fact, okay, now, you know, we'll know, because it's always tough. Chris, you know this. Like, when you, like, you, I mean, your game plan is set around having Kyrie and KD. And
yeah,
all of a sudden, you lose Kyrie, you know, things change. And that, I mean, that, let's be honest, like, emotionally, that can be deflating. Like, oh, God, again, and now we got to deal with, you know, we just get Jeff Green back, and now we lose Kyrie. So now they can spend, you know, leading up to the next game, to game five, you know, if I don't think Kyrie's going to play. I have a hard time believing Kyrie's
going to
play.
How could he play? He left the arena on crutches yet.
In a
walking
boot, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe Harden comes back, but at least you can game plan. The hope would be this, Dave, is that those role players, like Joe Harris is the perfect example, right? Joe Harris in Milwaukee was...
Joe Harris has to be better.
Joe Harris was 4-19 and scored 11 points in Milwaukee. At home, he was 12-23 and scored 32 points in games 1 and 2. So maybe that, I mean, that's... And you even saw yesterday, the role players for Milwaukee in Milwaukee have been better. Like, P.J. Tucker had a good game offensively. Connaughton chipped in. Like, I mean, you know, Forbes had a couple threes. Like, those guys were better in Milwaukee. So, I mean, I think the same thing can be said about Brooklyn. And now all of a sudden, you know, going in, okay, we're not going to have Kyrie. And maybe we don't have James Harden. But this series has taken a complete... I mean, if you're a Nets fan right now, with how you felt after game three, or after those first two games in Brooklyn, you feel the complete opposite of that right now.
Yeah, it's kind of strange because we didn't know whether or not the Nets could flip a switch in the postseason, and these guys, because they didn't have a lot of games under their belt where all three of them were playing together, we were wondering what the chemistry would look like in the postseason. And the chemistry wasn't the issue. The question is whether or not they were going to be able to stay healthy enough to go on a run and win the chip. Because, I mean, you got to find a way to be able to win 16 games. And I guess we should have trusted the regular season and known that that was always going to be a question mark. But, I mean, to lose James Harden early in the series because of a hamstring and now Kyrie Irving because of an ankle, I mean, this is just something that falls in line with all the data points that we've had all year long, which tell us that the Nets are going to struggle to stay healthy. And it's a team that's built around those three superstars. And if you take two of those away, you don't have a lot of depth that you feel like can step in and being able to support the one superstar that you yet still do have. So, I mean, this is the result of what the Nets decided to do before the season started. They said they were going to go all in with these superstars. They traded for James Harden, and they mortgaged a lot of their depth, a lot of their pieces, in order to create a big three. And now you're seeing the risk that comes along with building your team that way. If you have a couple of injuries to those guys, you're in a very compromising position. And right now, they're on the ropes.
Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, the guy that's still kicking, he was on pace to play almost the entire game. I mean, if they kept KD out there, I mean, he's playing close to 45, 46 minutes. The guy coming off the career-threatening Achilles injury is the
last one.
Right,
he's the one guy left standing here.
But isn't that crazy, though? But that's when you start talking about postseason, and I don't care what the sport is, why each game is so important, because you never know what's going to happen. Like, that's why, I mean, you kind of like, oh, it's game three, no big deal. It was a game that they could have won, but you know what? It's fine. They'll bounce back in game four. Like, Joe Harris won't be 1-for-11. Like, there's too much offense. They'll score. Like, KD will shoot better. Kyrie will shoot better. They'll be fine in game four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now all of a sudden, Kyrie's hurt. Series is tied 2-2, and you're like, I mean, if you're a Nets fan, you're a little bit panicked at the moment.
Yeah, I think you have to be panicked, but let's be fair. I mean, the only reason, at least in my opinion, the only reason this is even a discussion is because of the injuries. The Nets are so much better, and you saw that in the first two games, and Harden didn't even play in the first two games, and they destroyed this team. The only reason this is any semblance of a series right now is solely because of injuries.
Well, that's why they say, Dave, in order to win a championship, you got to be lucky and good. I mean, the Nets are clearly good. I mean, you can make the argument that we've never seen this kind of collection of offensive talent on one team, but you also have to have, you know, a little bit of luck when it comes to being able to stay healthy. And this team has been snake bitten all year long. And, you know, when you start talking about the big three only playing 8 regular season games together, it's just one of those things like, okay, we're saying that once they get to the playoffs, they're going to be healthy. They can flip a switch. That did not happen, Dave, in terms of them being able to stay healthy. Yeah, they elevated their play, especially on the defensive side of the court. But in terms of them being able to stay healthy, I mean, we're seeing it this series. It's still coming back to bite this team. And I don't know that they're going to be able to get past that. That's the biggest question.
Sports karma, Dave. That's what this is, sports karma.
You know what? It's true. Not playing in that Philadelphia game, right? Resting all the guys. Doing it all season long, not worrying about seeding, not worrying about anything besides we'll be fine in the postseason. You're right. And you know what, Rick? I bet you there's a lot of people out there in NBA circles that are not too upset that this is happening at the moment.
Well, no. I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, you never want to see it happen because of injury.
Nope.
No. You're not
never, but you're right.
Injury.
Like, I mean, no, because we've said it the entire time. Like, if this Nets team rolls through the postseason, the way it felt like, I mean, they were going to roll through the postseason after the first two games of this Bucks series and then win a championship, it would. I mean, that spits in the face of everything you've been taught about what it takes to win a championship. Like continuity, like experience. I mean, you know, taking the regular season, like actually, like taking the regular season seriously. Like all the things that that you would say, okay, these are the things that you need to win a championship. They're like, nah, no big deal. We got talent. We got the three best, you know, three of the best players in the world. We'll be fine. And that's now they only have one. That's what they're down to is one. It's Kevin Durant. Let's see, you know, if the pieces around him can step up when they go back to Brooklyn. Because if they don't, I mean, this is
if they don't win Game 5 and those two guys don't play in Game 6, this series will end in 6. But can you stop with the people before the series who really loved Milwaukee, though? Can we stop with that? Because the only reason we're sitting here where we are is because of injury right now.
That's it. That's the only reason.
If those two guys are healthy, this series is done.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, because especially, I mean, you feel like at some point you were going to get James Harden back, too. James Harden may play in Game 5. I mean, they say they don't want to rush him back, but it sounds like he's getting close. But here's the thing, too. Like, yesterday was going to be a tough game. Right, like yesterday was going to be, I mean, it was going to be physical. You saw how physical it was. It was going to be a tough game regardless. Like, if Kyrie stayed healthy that entire game, if he didn't get hurt, it was still going to be a tough game. But the second he rolled his ankle and was out.
Yeah, you knew it was over.
Yeah.
You knew it was over. Here is Steve Nash. He was asked, when will Harden be back? Here is the answer.
I don't want James to be rushed back. If he's able to play next game or the game after, that's fantastic. If he's not, I don't want to rush him back and jeopardize doing something worse or making this a long-term injury. So we'll see. We'll have to take all these things into account and evaluate them and try to make a smart decision.
I get you don't want to rush him, but I mean, if the guy's close to being able to play, you have to play him, no?
Well, no, I don't know. Here's the thing, though. I don't know if you can. Like, you guys tell me. Do you feel comfortable with the Nets coming back to Milwaukee down 3-2? That no. There'll be a game 7?
No. No.
Okay, so, I mean, that puts an emphasis on game 5. Like, if he's close, I don't need to see him play, you know, 38 minutes in game 5. But, I mean, if he can, you know, get back and at least run the offense a little bit. Because I don't think Mike is as good as Mike James is in his role. I don't know if that's who he can be.
No, no. If you got to rely on Mike James to play north of 30 minutes a night, it's not going to be good for your team. If he's your primary ball handler, if he's your starting point guard, you're going to be at a deficit compared to what the Bucks are going to do. So, I mean, I just feel like in order for this team to make this a series and to be able to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, they got to have one of those two guys come back, whether it's Kyrie Irving or James Harden. One of those guys has to come back and play in multiple games in this series.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's that simple. I agree with you, Chris. I think it's that simple. If one of those guys comes back and is healthy, Nets are going to win the series. If that doesn't happen, Milwaukee wins the series. And I think it's actually that simple.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Baby news. Like, what do we have? Give us something. Set the mood on a Monday.
All right, we had some baseball on. We had the Thursday, and then we had the Friday. Milo played a really good game, so he got the most exciting thing for him, he got two ice creams.
The nice. Double ice cream. He must have been really good.
Yeah, he got the vanilla soft serve with the chocolate dip, which he destroyed. And then he got, I mean, this is the biggest, I mean, I don't know if it was a value size or whatever, like the firecracker popsicle. Biggest thing, I mean, this is humongous. Crushed that. We had soccer on Sunday. And then, I mean, Auntie Shay decided to surprise the kids, and she came up to visit for the week. And the kids had no idea, which was great. So she came, and then they woke up and then walked in, and then Shay was just standing there in the kitchen. They almost had nervous breakdowns.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was a great
– I mean, it was just a great weekend for you.
Yeah, I mean, then on top of that, the Islanders with that win, game one, yeah. It's a great weekend. I got no complaints.
And the New York Islanders win!
Still great.
It'll never get old. It will never get old. All right, let's take a listen. Here's Steve Nash. Give us the update, if there is one, on Kyrie Irving and where we are after game 4.
I have no idea, you know, what's going to happen with Kai in the coming days. You know, we'll cross our fingers and hope that it's better than missing the next game. You know, it is tricky with Kev. We all got to pitch in. We all got to play together. We got to move the ball. And I thought tonight we got a little single-minded looking for Kevin every time. Puts a little bit too much pressure on him. It makes us a little more predictable, I thought.
But where are you going to go? I mean, you don't really have a second option. You feel good about Blake Griffin, Jeff Green, Mike James, Joe Harris. Who's the guy that you say, all right, you know, to take a little
pressure? Joe Harris has to be better. He was in these two games in Milwaukee. He was brutal. He was bad.
Terrible.
But this is what happens when, I mean, you ask those guys that are, you know, comfortable in certain roles to step up and be more than they're capable of being, especially on the road, doesn't usually work out well for you. I think you saw that in the third quarter. I mean, the third quarter was all Kevin Durant. It was.
Yeah, there were only two other guys that got buckets in that quarter.
That was it.
That's it. So, I mean, it makes it a little bit easier for that Bucks defense to lock in if Kevin Durant is the only guy that you feel like is on the court that can create for his own shot and for everybody else. Like, you feel like you need a couple of guys to be able to do that at all times, and the Brooklyn Nets had that coming into this series. But now that they're down to just Kevin Durant, it makes it a little bit easier for the rest of that Bucks defense, along with P.J. Tucker, to be able to lock in on KD. And you saw how difficult they can make life for him and how difficult it is for the Nets to be able to get good looks at the basket. So something about that has to change, Dave, and I don't know how that changes without getting one of those other guys back. I don't think you can,
Chris. I don't see how it does. I mean, if you can focus all your energy on stopping one guy, you can do that. You can do that, however great of a scorer that guy is. When you have two of them, it's much more difficult. When you have three of them, I think it's impossible. But one, you can slow down one guy.
Yeah, but to Rick's point earlier, if they were able to pull off the win at the end of game 3, then all of a sudden you're talking about having 4 games and only having to win one of those games in order to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now the series tied at 2 coming back to Brooklyn, it feels like it's a lot more dicey just because you don't anticipate having Kyrie Irving for game 5. I mean... hell, he might be out for the rest of the series, as bad as that ankle looked, Dave. And then with James Harden, I mean, that hamstring has been a problem for him all year. I mean, it's the same hamstring that kept him out over a month in the regular season, and James Harden doesn't miss time like that. So, I mean, the fact that we came back for the playoffs and now we're talking about him missing time starting early in this series, I just, even if he does come back, I don't know how long he'll stay back, and I don't know what version of James Harden we're going to get. So, I mean, it just feels like the Nets are up against it now because of the injury bug. And there isn't a whole lot of reason for optimism in terms of being able to see, you know, one of those guys come back and be the difference maker that we know when healthy they're capable of being.
All right, so let me throw this out there for you guys. We all thought the Nets were going to win the series and somewhat easily, and I still stand by the fact that they absolutely would have. But that's not the case now. Clean slate. We turn to each of you. You can pick who's going to win the series. Chris, who wins the series, knowing what you know now, heading into Game 5?
I would say Milwaukee wins the series, Dave.
Rick?
I'm not ready to make that decision yet.
Well, no, we're going to need it, though.
Well, I'll give it to you. We still have 2 hours and, 36 minutes left?
2 hours
I
got to
think
and,
about this.
35
I got to think
yes.
about this. I'm trying to gauge whether or not I think James Harden is going to be back.
And within the next 2 hours and 35 minutes, you think you'll have that knowledge?
I'll have that, yeah. Yeah, I will have it. Because they
he's
need him
probably
back.
Probably fast asleep.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, if you told me, who knows, though, maybe he's decided, you know what, I'm going like Floyd Mayweather style, where I'm getting treatment 24 hours straight. Like, you're going to massage me until I fall asleep. How great would that be, too, if you got every night you got massaged until you fell asleep?
That's like the life of a baby, right?
Well, that's how, I mean, you ever watch the Floyd Mayweather stuff?
Yeah.
So he does. I'm going to need you two to massage me until I fall asleep, and then you can do whatever you want after that. That's great stuff. So if he's not back, because I'm with Chris, I don't know, man. I've done that to my ankle, and I mean, it's, you saw what happened. LeBron James' ankle didn't look half as bad as that.
And
so
much time. How much time?
So, I mean, maybe with the sage.
You know what? Maybe the sage really kicks in now.
You call up Mark Jackson, do the old, like, we'll pray on it like he did with Steph Curry's ankle. Maybe we could do some of that. But, I mean, if James Harden and Kyrie aren't back, I think it's going to be Milwaukee that wins the series. Just because, I mean, that's not facilitating the offense is not necessarily Kevin Durant's strength. Like, mm-hmm. That's not who he is. I don't even think that's who Kyrie is. I mean, Kyrie can do it, but Kyrie's a scorer. That's what he is.
Yep.
And you've heard it a couple different times, too. It's like they get, you know, it turns into, you know, okay, Kyrie, you take a turn. Then KD, you take a turn. Because that's when they're the dominant ball handlers, that's how they can create their own offense, is because they're so good, they'll break you down. It turns into kind of like it's isolation ball. That's why that's why James Harden was so important for this team. And you saw that when those guys were out, what he's able to do, how he's able to make everyone around him better and kind of slow things down, you know, pick things up when he needs to pick things up. He understands tempo and everything else. So if he comes back and he looks, I don't know what percentage you want to put on it, that he'll be back for Game 5 and stays healthy for the rest of the series, I would still like Brooklyn's chances.
No, but you're completely avoiting the question.
No, I mean, Chris,
it's not
avoiding the question.
If
James Harden is not back,
you can't put a caveat on it like that. I'm asking who do you think when, like, Chris took it and ran with it. You're if this and if that, and you start bringing math into the equation. Just tell me, who do you think wins the series?
I'm heavily into the analytics, Dave. You know this. Heavily into the analytics. I like to have one take and stick with it.
Feels like he's doing a lot of hedging right now.
A lot of hedging.
That's where the series
is
at.
Great. You know what? If you told Chris that James Harden comes back and he's healthy, I'm sure he's going to pick the Nets as well, but we don't know that. So that's why I'm asking you the question now.
Well, ask him that question. See how he answers it.
Because I know what he's going to say.
I don't want you to ask him. You don't know for sure.
All right, Chris, if James Harden comes back and he's healthy, who do you like to win the series?
The Brooklyn Nets.
Thank you. I knew what he was going to say.
Damn it, Canty.
What do you want from me? It's ridiculous. Give me an answer. Say it with your chest,
man.
I'm going
to Skip Bayless hedge.
Oh, come on, man. Stop it.
Clippers are dead. No, Clippers are going to win the championship. No, Clippers are dead. I'm going to throw Kyrie's shoes. I'm going to throw Kawhi's shoes away. Now I'm going to take them back out of the trash. I love them.
How about Chris Paul making a mockery of the MVP?
What did we say, though? How many times did we say it? He should have got way more respect for MVP.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
What do you mean, here we go?
Here we go. With you thought he was going to win the MVP. Chris, have you received the check for the Chris Canty?
You're an idiot.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Did you receive the check for the Chris Candy Foundation yet?
I have not, Dave, but in full disclosure, I have not checked the mailbox in over a week, so I don't know whether it was sent or not.
Has it been sent, Rick?
No, I told you I needed an address. Don't try to deflect. No one said that Chris Paul was going to win the MVP. Don't change what we said.
Dave, speaking of which, shouldn't you be more concerned about what's going to happen with the NBA Finals now that the Nets have these two big injuries that they're dealing with? I mean, we could be talking about the tape being released.
That's possible.
We could be talking about that, Dave. I mean, if the Brooklyn Nets get bounced, all of a sudden the Utah Jazz ain't looking too bad.
Yeah, I still don't believe in the Utah Jazz.
I don't either, Dave, but I feel a lot better about the Jazz's chances of winning a chip with the Brooklyn Nets out of the playoffs.
I got Chris Paul standing in their way, though.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
Chris Paul has been, oof.
That's Devin true.
Booker, Chris
but,
Paul.
But Donovan Mitchell and Jordan Clarkson, those two.
You see that Stephen A. said that Donovan Mitchell is the best
Utah
player in
Jazz
the history of the
ever?
Utah Jazz franchise?
Stop. Is he not familiar with the work of John Stockton and Karl Malone?
Well, no, he actually mentions that. I don't want to hear about John Stockton or Karl Malone. Donovan Mitchell is the best.
Listen, Stephen A. has a lot of great takes. That is not one of them.
I will say this, though. Donovan Mitchell does look like the reincarnation of Dwayne Wade.
He's great.
He does look like that.
I don't think anyone has a negative thing to say about Donovan Mitchell. But to say that he's the best player in franchise history, come on.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch. It's too early for that. But, I mean, man, Donovan Mitchell is really,
Relax.
Really good. Kind of crazy. He could have been a Knick, right?
Have you seen Frank Ntilikina lately? Stop it. Donovan Mitchell talk.
I tried to give Frank advice. He didn't listen.
It worked for like two games when you gave him the advice.
You know what? If I had some time with him, I think his NBA career would have turned out much differently. But no.
So
he
Frank,
speaks
can you point
French because he's from France.
So Frank, can you point back to one situation in your Knick career where things changed for you? That was that one night at Lord & Taylor with Dave Hutter.
when some strange guy told me I have to take the ball to the basket, I listened, it worked, and then I went away from that following that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I said, I think last week, when the Yankees were 5.5 games out, they're starting to get themselves in trouble. And you guys did not want to hear that at the time. We're now a week later. They had another horrendous week. They got beaten up in Philadelphia. Starting pitching has been bad now of late. Can we revisit this at 8.5 games back as we hit June 14th, Chris?
Dave, it's called being in denial. I didn't want to hear it last week when it came to the Yankees struggles. I was just hoping that this team would find a way to be able to pull out of this nosedive just because some of the pieces on this team, some of the talent that's been assembled, like you feel confident that those guys are going to play to the back of the baseball card. But Dave, I mean, we're halfway through the month of June. We're not talking about being in the middle of May or the middle of April. I think we have a large enough sample size to realize that this Yankees team is just an average ball club. 65 games in, I mean, this is who they are. They're one game over 500. They are a mediocre team that has some serious warts. And I don't know how they get it together, man. I mean, after a Chapman meltdown on Saturday and, you know, Jameson Taillon being god-awful, I think he threw 34 pitches and only was able to record one out. I mean, you had this parade of relievers, which probably led to Aaron Boone staying with Domingo Germán a little bit longer than he should have yesterday. And as a result, the Phillies and Gene Segura made them pay. And it's just one of those things that, you know, I'm getting tired of talking about this team's struggles. I'm getting tired of them talking about not being fundamentally sound. At some point, something about that has to change if the Yankees want to get where they want to go. Because it's getting late early when you start looking at the division standings and looking at how many games back behind the Rays they are.
Well, now, and headed into, I mean, what makes it worse is now that you're headed into Toronto.
And then you have Oakland.
Yeah, but I mean, did you see what Toronto did yesterday?
Yes.
When they hit eight home runs?
Yes.
I mean, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is one of the best players. I mean, he's one of the best players in baseball right now. But he's having like an MVP caliber season right now. I mean, Dave, you said it. I mean, that's the biggest thing recently because, I mean, fundamentally, this is not a good baseball team. They're not great defensively. They're awful. You saw it again yesterday with Odor, who's a veteran player. I mean, there's no excuse for that. I mean, they don't run the bases well. they hit way too many double plays. The starting pitching has now been a problem, right? I mean, that was the one thing when the offense struggled that was keeping them afloat.
They were so good.
Starting pitching was great.
But you had to – listen, Kluber goes down, And you had to think that at some point the starting pitching was going to take a step back, but that the offense and the bullpen would now have to carry them. And that's just, it's just not the case.
Yeah, but you didn't think Domingo Germán was going to be as bad as he was yesterday, though,
no,
Dave.
It was awful.
Through the first 11 batters, he allowed 7 hits. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. I don't know how the Yankees get this fixed. I mean, now the starting pitching is starting to become a problem, and that gets compounded by being able to give the opposing team extra outs because you're not sound defensively.
I mean, although Gleyber Torres made a couple, the last couple of days he's made a couple awesome plays defensively. I mean, he saved that game Saturday.
That was a great, the play up the middle?
Play up the middle. He saved that game. Unfortunately, you're losing the, at least you fought in that game. You know what I mean? At least you fought back in that game.
LeMahieu had big hit in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But, had three run homer, but Tyone was awful. But see, but that.
Horrible.
But that's what happens, though. I mean, it's baseball. This is why every single day, it's like what happened with Tyone now affects you all of a sudden on Sunday because he only got one out. you got to rely on your bullpen to get you 26 outs. Okay, now how does that affect Sunday's game when Chris mentioned it?
Yep,
now
you got to ride with Germán longer than you should have.
Longer than you want, and he didn't have his, he was bad. He was not good at all, and then Nola was awesome. And, he pretty much shut down the Yankees' offense. And when you can't hit, you look lifeless, which is one of the big, that's one of the big things we hear from Yankees fans when they call in, is this team it's boring baseball. They're not fun to watch. It looks like they got no heart. They're lifeless. Which is, let's be honest, Dave. Me and you are both Mets fans. They're night and day as far as the amount of energy that they play with.
That's right. And the Mets get contributions from all these guys that you expected nothing from. I mean, Jose Peraza's and Billy McKinney's and just, up and down the lineup, they get production from these type of players now.
But, Dave, that was the Yankees a couple of years ago. Remember when they had all of the injuries and they just kept plugging guys in and kept rolling along and winning baseball games? We've gotten away from that. I mean, it feels like we're so far removed from a team that has that kind of mentality, that kind of culture in the clubhouse. It was a next man up type of thing, and the next man up was actually producing. Now, this season, this Yankees team, it's bad. Like the guys that step in, they don't look like they belong on the baseball diamond. And then on top of that, the guys that you're expecting to perform come up short. At some point, something about that has to change. You can't take turns being the culprit on a different day. Like, at some point, you have to be able to rely on the guys that you're supposed to have in the lineup to be able to produce. And then the guys that are filling in every now and again have to be able to surprise you with some performances. And the Yankees haven't gotten either of those. And then on top of that, the starting pitching, which has been good up until this point in the season, feels like it's starting to break down.
But that's the biggest difference, though, right now with the Mets and the Yankees is, the guys that have Mets. That's one of the things that Sandy Alderson wanted to make sure he addressed. And you couldn't, you can't foresee the amount of injuries that the Mets have had. But they have, they got legitimate Major League Baseball players on their bench.
VR is a backup player. Peraza is a backup player,
Pilar's been great.
Yeah.
You name it. Guys have, but they're like, McKinney's been awesome, but they're legitimate. Those guys, the VR, Pilar, those guys are legitimate Major League Baseball players. Hopefully, Luke Voigt's back. He's doing his rehab assignment now, but you've got no production from first base at all. Zero. Look at your outfield yesterday with no Judge. Right? Like Andujar, he's in there for his bat, but you see it. He's not a good left fielder at all by any stretch.
And you can't.
Clint Frazier continues to struggle.
Yeah, Frazier's been horrible all year. You can't even place Den. You lose this heartbreaker on Saturday. You're on the road in a National League park on Sunday, and you can't even give it a thought that he's going to play in the outfield and get that bat in the lineup?
He's strictly a DH. That's what he is.
I get it, but boy, and I know it's not fair to make him the poster child of all the problems with the Yankees, but if I was a Yankees fan, that would drive me crazy. I can't get one game in the outfield from this guy? One? With a day off coming on Monday?
But here's the thing, though. You play him one game, you may lose him for a month. That's the mindset. We play him one time because we're desperate. All of a sudden, now he ends up pulling a calf or something else, and now we lose him for a month.
But, Rick, the guy can't play a game in the outfield? One day?
You're preaching to the choir, Dave. That's why I thought it made no sense when Brian Cashman did it. And I don't care that he was the National League MVP. You already had that. Aaron Judge, that's what you had. You had Aaron Judge, who is, that's the exact kind of player that he is, was Stanton. And now he can't play the outfield at all, and you're paying him a ton of money for the next 6 years. So that's not great. But look where we're at. When they picked up Rougned Odor, there was a question as to whether or not how he would make this. How long would he be on this team?
Yep.
He's batting third for you now. Right? Like, even that's, yeah. That's
Gardner's
his level
in the lineup
of
every single day. You're right.
He shouldn't be playing.
No.
He should not be playing.
Not on this team, he shouldn't. It's amazing. I mean, they are. This has to be by far the most disappointing team in baseball this year. There's not even a second at the moment when you look around the league.
No, from where they were at, I mean, everyone thought the best team in the American League, not just the division.
Not even close. Like, hands down, the best team in the American League.
Do you see what their playoff chances are at right now?
They ain't great.
As a wild card?
And just play out. Yeah, not division winner. I mean, just play out, period.
You have a percentage? Is that what you have?
Yeah, there's a percentage.
I would say, Pecota, Chris, when we did it last week, they were still at like 93 wins. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to say the Yankees to be a playoff team is...
I'm not going percentage!
No, I am. Is 60%.
46%.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's but precipitous, though. Like, June 1st, I think they were, what, Chris, 70, 71%?
Yeah, it was somewhere around there.
And now we're already at 46%.
Right, so less than 50-50. Wow, it's really amazing. Let's go to Sean and Ronkonkoma. Good morning, Sean. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, fellas, morning. I'm with you guys, man. I'm going a little, a bend a little bit. You know, a couple years ago when they constructed this thing, this team's not supposed to have a hole in the lineup at all. And now you're struggling to scratch a run. I mean, you haven't had production from, you guys touched on it, Clint Frazier all year. He's been under 200. I mean, when's it time to send him down and maybe, like, rethink, Frazier a little bit, maybe send him down and, reinvent his stock a little bit. And Urshela hasn't been hitting the ball at all and in first base as well. So I'm frustrated with Marcus Thames. I think they need to reevaluate him. And I think we need some answers from Brian Cashman. So, he's reminded me of Dave Gettleman. He's hiding in the backgrounds, and then Boone's taking all the slack because of it. So,
yeah, but Sean,
I don't know,
but Sean, but who are you replacing Clint Frazier with at the moment?
At the moment, all we have is Andujar unless they make a trade, but I don't know. So, we'll have to wait and see.
You need starting pitching help is what you need. I mean, especially now that Severino just looked like, I mean, you see the video of that.
Unbelievable. With his groin. Then he gets hurt on the mound. It looks like, a groin? And now God knows what he's going to be like.
Yeah, and Tyone, I mean, he's not. I mean, you say what you want. I don't know how
Tyone
feel
has been
about
bad.
It.
Do you really want to go trading or mortgaging assets for this team?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think you
is,
want to
is
do
there,
that.
Is there a piece that you look at, like a player, a piece that you say, if we get that, all of a sudden this turns around?
No, I don't think you just look at one person and say, this is going to turn around. I mean, you're going to rely on what you have. Like, you're going to hope that, DJ LeMahieu turns into the DJ LeMahieu we've seen over the last couple of years.
He had a good weekend. He's been better.
Yeah, he's been better. But for the most part, I mean, he has not been the same guy, right? Especially with runners in scoring position and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I mean, Gleyber Torres, I don't know if it's a change of approach, if it's the baseballs, whatever it ends up being, but, I mean, he's hit, but he doesn't hit for power anymore. I mean, Urshela's been, he's been pretty good. He's been consistent. Mm-hmm. Gary Sanchez has been better, right? Gary Sanchez is coming around offensively. But, I mean, you need Judge, because he's been your best offensive player.
Gardner's back in the lineup every day. Brent Gardner cannot be in your lineup every single day. He's just not that kind of a guy anymore. Clint Frazier's not hitting 200. We used to talk about, God, 6-9 in the Yankees lineup is, look at that, it's murderer's row, it's the best in baseball. It's not. It's just not. You get down to the bottom of that lineup, first of all, the top is not as daunting as it once was, and the bottom of the lineup stinks for the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't think anyone disagrees with you. I mean, offensively, they have not been good this entire season. They haven't been. I mean, you played 65 games, there's been 34 of them when you scored three or less runs.
Mm.
This is supposed to be one of the most potent offenses in the Major League Baseball. That's what this team is built to be. And that's not what it's been by any stretch. And now, to make matters worse, the guy who's been, probably your best player consistently for the entire season, Chapman, has had his struggles over the last couple appearances.
Yeah. Yep.
It's been ugly, man. I mean, it has been ugly. Outside of that one stretch, that 23-9 stretch. This has not been, this Yankees team has not been good.
It was a terrible start in the last couple. What's their record in the last, 14 games?
Dave, they've lost 13 of the last 18 games.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's not great. But, I mean, if we're playing the blame game, why are we wanting to throw Marcus Thames under the bus? I mean, this is Brian Cashman's team. This is the roster that he constructed. I know you got some guys out due to injury, but still, like, this is the team that he put together. And everybody was expecting that this team would be able to contend, not only to win the division, but to win a championship. And right now they seem like they're so far away from that. I don't understand why everybody wants to blame Marcus Timms or blame Aaron Boone, where I feel like the lion's share of the blame belongs to Brian Cashman. I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I mean, I blame – I mean, that's him, how the team is constructed. You got to blame the players as well. I mean, they have to perform. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, because there's no – I mean, Dave, you said it earlier. Like, who's the guy you bring in or players you bring in?
I don't think that – I honestly don't think there's one guy that you could go out and realistically, like Mike Trout, a healthy Mike Trout, sure. But, I mean, realistically, you could go out and bring in right now that all of a sudden would change the fortunes of what this team is. The guys that you have here need to start producing.
There's not enough versatility with this team is what annoys me the most. Like, they're a one-trick pony is what they are. I mean, this is – If this team isn't hitting home runs, they're not. I mean, they'll be hard pressed to score runs. They're not overly
athletic.
That
trick isn't even working now for the.
Well, yeah, but that's the problem though. They're not overly athletic. They're not athletic at all, really, at all. I mean, they don't run bases well. They're not a threat to steal bases. Defensively, they're below average. I mean, what do they do well? Tell me what they do well.
What do they do well? Their bullpen has been good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait.
But this is an offense that's supposed to live off of extra base hits and home runs.
Yeah. I think I'm done. I think if you said, what do they do well, I would say their bullpen has been good. And that's about it. And for a decent part of the season, their starting pitching was good. But now Kluber, who was really good and getting better, is out. And Tyone, who, let's be fair, has been a disappointment, continues to be. And Herman has not been what you thought he would be. And even Cole, who's terrific, if you look at their record in games that he started, it's not all that impressive. So, no, I would say the bullpen, and I would leave it at that right now.
You only scored more runs than one team in the American League. Would you care to guess that team?
The Tigers?
That's it.
It's a good guess.
Yeah, it's a really good guess. You scored 9 more runs than the Tigers.
Thank you. You want to hear from Aaron Boone, who got a little testy yesterday?
Yes, let's play that one.
You want to hear that one? Is that the one you want to start with?
Yeah, I like that one. Get Canty real panic. Get some. Is there any glass around Canty? Because I don't want to start breaking it.
No, he would shatter it.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay away from sharp objects right now, especially when I'm watching Yankees games.
Probably in your best interest. Yeah. Is the team starting to get content with losing?
No.
Why not?
I know them too well, and I don't think there's any getting used to freaking losing. Hell no. Get the hell out of here with that.
Angry.
Why not? What do you mean, why not? You play to win the game. Ain't that what Herm Edwards said? Oh, that was a ridiculous question, but it got the reaction that that reporter was looking for.
Do you have any other answer besides what Aaron Boone just gave you? You pretty much just should say, I should be fired today.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
If your team is complacent with losing, that's not great for you as a manager.
Are they content with losing, and why not? What do you mean, why not?
But here's the thing, though. They just don't, like, when they're winning, all we do is pray. I mean, all we do is pray, you know, it's the Yankee way, how professional they are. But when they're losing, it's not. I mean, they don't play with any joy, any excitement. Like, they don't have any of those guys. I mean, I guess Odor is kind of, I mean, can kind of be one of those guys. But it's, I mean, everything is so serious. It's like playing with that guy in golf that, like, he's counting every single shot and he doesn't smile and he's so serious. You know, kind of, you got a 2-foot putt and you're like, is this good? He's like, no, you're going to have to putt that. It's like, what do you mean I'm going to have to putt that, man? I want the guy that wants to play the radio and have a couple beers and play golf.
They're like the Russians of the early 80s in hockey.
It's painful, though. There's no joy. They don't look like they're enjoying what they're doing.
Not even a little bit.
When you're losing, it's awful. Like, as a fan, it's like you're sitting there asking yourself, like, do I care more than my team cares? Because they look like they have no interest right now. Now I got to see Santa. I mean, I got to see Judge and Stanton sitting on the bench.
Right. Now he's got back spasms. God knows how long he's going to miss.
Oh,
at least they're
off.
Which
I have no problem with. I mean, he's been their best player.
I know, but it's always
something. Yeah, but
you
don't know when he's going to be out of the lineup, Rico. It's always a surprise with Aaron Judge. We only find out stuff after the fact when it comes to the injuries that he's dealing with, the little nicks and bruises. And you just don't know how long it's going to keep him out. And you get frustrated as a fan because you realize how important he is to this team, especially with what the lineup has been doing outside of the guys at the top of the order. So, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that as a Yankees fan, you hold your breath and you get tired of having those types of moments on top of your team playing bad baseball.
It's really gross. So we'll get to the calls in a moment. Rick, this is for you. Sit back, put your feet up. The Islanders are home for the semifinal round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you have the chance to score tickets to Game 3 on Thursday night. Visit NewYorkIslanders.com/ESPN to fill out an entry form and get ready to bring the noise to cheer on the Islanders. All entries must be received by noon on Tuesday, so you must enter soon. Again, visit NewYorkIslanders.com/ESPN. for your chance to win. We'll get to the Islanders in the 6 o'clock hour. Let's go to Steve on the cell. Steve, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
I don't know why
Sounded like he had really good points to make, but the cell, and I said it, Steve on the cell, and that cell was just not productive. It was like Yankees at bat. Guy on third, one out, Steve on the cell. That's what the Yankees bring to the table. Thank you.
Hitting to a double play?
Yeah, thank you.
You know what's amazing? Listen to this for a second, right? Like, okay, when you're not hitting home runs in baseball, Dave, I guess you coach baseball, you're the GM, but I mean, you're always around baseball.
GM.
Okay. You know how much I still play baseball. I love baseball. Like, if you're not doing what your team was built to do, but this isn't any sport, though. Like, the great teams have versatility. Like, okay, we're not hitting home runs. We can do other stuff, right? Like, you know, we can... No, potentially, you know, we can steal some bases. We can, you know, go first to third, whatever it ends up being. Like a lot of the stuff that the Rays do, right? Like how they're built. Like a lot of the stuff the Red Sox are doing now. How about this for a number? So right now, if you're not hitting the home runs, right, is we talked about the runs. They've only scored more runs than the Tigers. They've hit into the most double plays, which just, I mean, that kills you, destroys you when you hit into that many double plays. Running the bases, as far as outs on the bases, they're the worst in Major League Baseball, and it's not even close. They're horrendous. Odor again. Defensively, we said, below average. Tampa right now has an 8.5-game lead in the AL East. Tampa's total defensive run saved is 54. Yankees are -5.
Oh, my God.
That's a humongous difference,
humongous
man.
Humongous difference.
Like, when you're not bludgeoning people, which they're supposed to do, like, those are the little things that become huge issues for your team. Like, all those things that you don't really talk about when your team is bashing the ball over the place because you're winning, like, become a real problem when you're losing.
Yeah, they become glaring when you're losing. When you're winning, you can hide those things, but not now. Not now. Less than a 50% chance to make it to the postseason. Eli in Washingtonville. Good morning, Eli. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, listen, a lot of us Yankee fans have been calling in, like, since last year, saying that Brian Cashman, I think Brian Cashman is a GM that he is overrated. You know, I know you guys throughout the winning seasons and giving up, you know, that he went to the playoffs, fine. But look at this train wreck and this embarrassment. Like, he didn't learn his lesson from Jacoby Ellsbury when it came to signing guys to contracts that are injury prone. Then he goes in and signs Stanton. Listen, this is an embarrassment.
He traded for Stanton. He traded for Stanton.
Huh?
He traded for Stanton. who had just won the NL MVP.
Yeah, but you just stated he was another judge.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, but I wouldn't put, but you're making, I don't think you're making a fair comparison. I wouldn't consider Jacoby Ellsbury and I wouldn't consider those two the same.
No, they're not the same, but it's still going to be a contract that, as a Yankees fan, you're not going to feel great about, and you're locked into that for the next, 6 years?
Well, you don't already feel. The time they picked it up, I didn't feel good about it, but
yep.
This is where we're at.
But that's not how Yankees fans felt. Yankees fans were excited about it.
Because it's the big shiny toy.
Yeah.
And you go, another guy that's going to hit 50 home runs, add to the allure of the Yankees. And, you know, I don't think there's a lot of people that really sat there and diagnosed the fact that this guy now clogs up your DH spot.
Financially, what he does is huge, too.
Financially, it's a huge number. They will not go over this, you know, this luxury tax number anymore. So Yeah, you have real problems here. I mean, and this is not something I think that's going away soon. You have legitimate problems here with the Yankees.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.